Radio Prague News.
The head of BIS, the Czech counterintelligence agency, has said that the organization recently helped thwart the planning of a terrorist attack within the European Union. The Czech Republic has sent a delivery of humanitarian aid to the U.S. for victims of Hurricane Katrina. Czech police say they will send two officials to the Seychelles this week to negotiate with authorities over the possibility of extraditing Czech fugitive Radovan Krejčíř. Jiří Lang, the head of BIS, the Czech counterintelligence agency, has revealed that the agency recently helped thwart the planning of a terrorist attack within the European Union. Mr. Lang made the statement on a news discussion program on Sunday, but refused to elaborate on further details, including whether any Czechs were involved. Public broadcaster Czech TV has pointed to a group recently arrested in Spain for planning an attack. According to BIS head Jiří Lang, there are some links in the Czech Republic between individuals and the financing of terrorism. He indicated on the program that counterintelligence was following all suspicious leads. On Sunday, the Czech Republic sent its first delivery of humanitarian aid for victims of Hurricane Katrina in the United States. Comprising some 24,000 blankets, 600 camp beds, as well as a number of hall-sized tents, the aid is the first of its kind from the Czech Republic to the U.S. Its sending was coordinated within NATO, also the first time the North Atlantic Treaty Organization has taken part in organized aid to the United States. The U.S. Ambassador to Prague, William Cabanis, was on hand at a ceremony on Sunday to accept the aid offer, noting the symbolism of the gesture on September 11th, 4 years after New York and Washington were struck by terrorist attacks. Czech police say they will send two officials to the Seychelles this week to negotiate with authorities over the possibility to extradite Czech fugitive Radovan Krejčíř, a businessman wanted on fraud charges as well as allegedly planning the murder of a customs official. Krejčíř fled the Czech Republic 2 months ago and was later joined on the Seychelles by his wife and son. On Friday, it was revealed that all three now have Seychelles citizenship. The Czech Republic does not have an extradition treaty with that country. The Justice Minister Pavel Němec has suggested it is unlikely the fugitive businessman will be handed over. Mr. Krejčíř's wife is also wanted by Czech police. Finally, a look at the weather. The beginning of the week is likely to see cloudy periods with some rain, but also sunny intervals later in the week. Daytime temperatures are expected to reach 24 degrees Celsius. I'm Jan Fellinger. That's the news. You're listening to Radio Prague. I'm Rob Cameron. Coming up today, a fugitive millionaire wanted by police in the Czech Republic pops up in the Seychelles. Škoda Auto unveils its latest model. And we pay our respects to the country's best-known scholar of Romani life, Milena Hukšmanová, who's died in a car accident. In the Czech Republic, there's a saying that when you've got it made, you are za vodou, across the water. That expression could apply twofold to fugitive millionaire Radovan Krejčíř. Two after giving the Czech police the slip from his luxury home near Prague, the businessman, who is wanted on charges of fraud and planning the murder of a customs official, has surfaced with his family in the Seychelles. But is it likely the Czech Republic will bring him to justice? Not very. Krejčíř, his wife and his son have all obtained Seychelles citizenship, making it very unlikely the Czechs will get Mr. Krejčíř back. Jan Velliger has more. A lifetime ahead of him in a tropical climate. That's how some are characterizing the future for Czech fugitive Radovan Krejčíř, now a fresh citizen of the Seychelles. 2 months ago, the 37-year-old businessman, wanted for criminal business dealings and allegedly planning murder, gave police the slip from right under their noses, escaping his lockdown villa unnoticed through the back door. The escape cost the police chief his job and left other officers with egg on their faces. Can Krejčíř still be brought to justice? Interior Minister František Bublan said on Sunday that the Czech Republic would be sending two representatives to the Seychelles to negotiate extradition.
They'd like to discuss Mr. Krejcir's case with Seychelles officials as early as this week. But how effective can Czech efforts really be? Even the Justice Minister has expressed his doubts, given that the Czech Republic does not have an extradition treaty with that country. Krejcir's return does not seem likely. Petr Dimon, the spokesman for the Justice Ministry, told One Daily on Sunday that the Czechs would do what they could to get Mr. Krejcir back, but stressed that the Seychelles were under no obligation to comply. For now, reports describe the Czech fugitive as settling in, making no special efforts to conceal his name or whereabouts. He may be missing some of his goods, electronic items, bicycles, furniture, confiscated recently by police from a truck headed out of the Czech Republic, but that appears to be the only inconvenience. Now, Mr. Krejcir will join a list of dubious Czech businessmen who for days, months, or years have eluded justice by escaping abroad. Men on the run with different stories, but with something in common. Whether the Bahamas, Belize, or the United Arab Emirates, all have exchanged trials and possible jail sentences for countries under the sun.
And thanks to Jan Wellinger for that report. Now, the Frankfurt car show opens this week and the Czech car maker Škoda is there fighting for the limelight. The automaker, which is celebrating its 100th birthday this year, is now owned by Germany's VW and has regained its reputation for quality and affordable prices that it enjoyed before the Second World War. Daniela Lazarova spoke to Škoda representatives in Frankfurt earlier today to find out what Škoda is presenting at the auto show. So, Daniela, what is Škoda unveiling?
Well, Rob, the Frankfurt show will see the public debut of the fastest road car that Škoda has ever built, the Škoda Octavia VRS, which is available as a hatchback and a wagon. This latest sporty model is powered by a turbo engine with direct fuel injection that pushes it from 0 to 62 miles per hour in just 7 seconds and can take it to a top speed of 148 miles per hour, I understand. I think Škoda's actually pretty confident about this latest Octavia model, but it's also following a new direction where it's just testing the ground, really, with an open pickup version of the Yeti. This is a design study, and Škoda is waiting for feedback there from both the experts and the public.
Right, we've heard about this Yeti before, haven't we?
Indeed, we have. The Yeti Roomster was unveiled at the Geneva Auto Show earlier this year, and the interest was such that Škoda has decided to launch production sometime next year. The Roomster was tailored for the young generation, a car that would look friendly and self-confident, to quote Škoda, and although part off-road, the idea was for it to look convincing in an urban environment. Now, the Yeti Cabriolet is an open pickup version of the earlier Yeti, designed by Thomas Ingenlath. It looks modern, it looks sporty, and provides various alternatives of open-air driving. Yaroslav Cherny, a Škoda representative, unveiled the bright orange Yeti Cabrio in Frankfurt earlier today, and here's what he had to say about it.
What's interesting about it, that's the variable roof system. So that's the combination of hardtop and softtop, which provides various alternatives of open-air driving.
And it's a three-door car, I understand.
Five-door car.
It's a five-door car?
Yeah.
Right. Who is it meant for?
We are not mentioning any target group for which this car should be used. We would like to hear the responses from the public and from the media.
And that was Yaroslav Cherny from Škoda Auto speaking earlier to Daniela Lazarova. The Frankfurt car show opens to the public on Saturday, but if you'd like to see what the Yeti Cabrio looks like, you can find it on Radio Prague's webpage, www.radio.cz. The Czech Republic's foremost expert on Romani culture and language, Milena Hubšmanová, has died at the age of 72. She was involved in a car crash in South Africa, in which one other person was killed and several were injured. Her death is a huge loss, and not just to the Romani community, to whom she devoted much of her life. David Vaughan knew her for a number of years. David, her death has come as a shock, hasn't it?
Yes, although she was 72, I mean, she always seemed much younger. She also had the most incredible charisma. And the Romani Studies Department of Charles University, which she set up in 1991, really was something that revolved around her, and it's very hard to imagine a department without her. And we used to joke, in fact, I remember one occasion when I was when she was driving me back from visiting some Romani writers in Rocetsani, and we nearly got involved in a car accident. I remember joking that, you know, she should take care of better care of herself, because she was irreplaceable. And sadly, now this tragedy has happened.
Indeed, and I gather that Milena Hubschmanova was a highly respected academic.
Yes, I mean, she had the most amazing education. She studied Hindi, Urdu and Bengali and spoke all those languages. And she studied in Prague at the beginning of the 1950s. And it was through these Indian languages that she got interested in Romani, because, of course, the Romani language does also have its roots in India. And she learned the language by living among Roma in the Czech Republic and Slovakia. And she made a huge number of friends during that time. And also at the time after the Soviet invasion in the 1970s in particular, when the regime was forcibly trying to assimilate Roma and to suppress their language and culture, she risked conflict with the regime to really try and keep the elements of Roma culture alive.
Right, and so her achievement, if you like, is that she helped to keep the Romani language alive in Czechoslovakia during this very, very difficult time.
Well, yes, I mean, she played a huge role in helping to record and revive the Romani language. She is, for example, the author of the first ever, and I think the only ever, Czech-Romani dictionary. She also wrote numerous textbooks, for example, on the Romani language, the Roma language. And she, above all, I think, she encouraged some of her Roma friends to write. She recalled to me the moment when her good friend, now a very celebrated Romani poet, Tera Fabianova, first came to write in Romani.
That time I came to know her, Tera, 50 years ago. She was 23 and I was 20. So we were beautiful that time. We were going somewhere by car with Tera. And out of a sudden, she started to not recite, but to shout a poem, you know, or to shout something. And it was so beautiful that I immediately stopped. And I took a paper and a pencil or something, and I asked her to repeat it. So she repeated it, then I put it down.
And this was the beginning of something important, wasn't it?
She was composing poetry before, but never in Romanesque, in Romani language, you know. Then it was published in this bilingual booklet, which was really the first written book published in Romani, bilingual. It was a selection of poetry of about 7 Roma who wrote, who were writing.
And so really, Tera Fabianova was one of the first of many Roma writers who Milena supported over several decades. And in fact, we featured several of them in our book programme, Czech Books. After the fall of communism, she was also the main force in setting up the Department of Romani Studies at the Charles University, and she edited a highly respected periodical called Romano Janipen, as well as helping to get a number of Romani writers published.
And David, what was it that made her so interested in the Roma in the first place?
Well, I don't know, but I mean, she was not from an ordinary family. Both her parents were, in fact, imprisoned by the Gestapo during the German occupation. So I don't think she was ever going to follow a conventional career. She had these Virginia Woolf good looks and a very aristocratic manner, in a sense, that seemed to kind of, she wasn't really interested in the kind of materialism, consumerism that prevailed in Czechoslovakia both before and after the fall of communism. And so I think in a way that Milena really genuinely did feel at home amongst the Roma, and she'll be certainly hugely missed both by Roma and non-Roma alike.
Right, well, David, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
You're listening to Radio Prague. It's time now for all the sports news with Ian Willoughby.
History was made on Sunday night when the Czech women's basketball team sensationally won the European Championships for the first time ever. In a very dramatic final in Ankara, the Czechs were trailing old foes Russia 31-43 at half-time, but gradually clawed their way back into the match. Then, with just 8 seconds to go, veteran Eva Nemtsova calmly scored a three-pointer to put the Czechs in the lead. They then added another point to make it 72-70 before the final whistle. Cue scenes of euphoria from the Czech players and bench. And here is the Czech hero of the hour, or maybe that should be a heroine, Eva Nemtsova.
No, pro mě je to úplná nádhera, úplně něco, co se vůbec nedá vlastně vysvětlit, protože já to vlastně nerealizuju.
It's absolutely great. It's hard to put it in words because it still hasn't sunk in at all. I said to myself, there are just 5 seconds to go. We were losing by a point and I simply had to score. That was the only chance we had. But we did it and we have the gold. That's excellent.
Tak je to úplně nádhera.
Excellent indeed. Moving on now to ice hockey, and the new season in the Extraliga got underway on Friday evening. Around 60 of the NHL players who entertained Czech fans during last season's lockout have returned to their North American clubs. But many in Czech hockey say there's no reason this season should be any less exciting than last. The bookies' favourites to win are Slavia Prague. They got off to a poor start with a 1-1 draw at Vsetín, though made amends on Sunday with a 5-1 win over Kladno. Title holders Pardubice are also on 4 points after 2 games. They beat Karlovy Vary 2-1 and drew 1-1 with Vítkovice. In football, Czech league champions Sparta Prague beat Jihlava 2-0 on Saturday, with both goals from Lukáš Zelenka. Though, as often this season, their style of play came in for a lot of criticism. They'll have to improve if they're to make any impact against Ajax Amsterdam, who visit Prague for a Champions League group game on Wednesday. Ajax feature Czech international captain Tomáš Kalásek and former Sparta man Zdeněk Grigora. Two other Czech clubs are in European action this week. Slavia Prague play Irish side Cork City in the first round of the UEFA Cup on Thursday, while Teplice face Espanyol in the same competition. Staying with football, Rudolf Skatzel dusted himself off after his disappointing performance for the national team last week and scored again for Hearts at the weekend. That makes it a goal in each of the club's 6 games this season, equaling the Scottish record set by the great Henrik Larsson. Not bad for somebody who was a left back last season when he played for Panathinaikos. And Skatzel has been named Player of the Month in the Scottish Premier League. Meanwhile, record-breaking goalkeeper Petr Cech is picking up where he left off last term in the English Premiership. He hasn't conceded a goal for Chelsea in 5 league games this season. That's all the sport for today.
All right, it's time now for this week's edition of Talking Point. That's brought to you by Colin O'Connor.
It's hot on the dance floor at a well-known night spot just a few minutes' walk from Prague's Old Town Square. Many of the dancers have heavily dilated pupils and are grinding their jaws in an agitated manner. This suggests that they may be having more than just a few drinks as part of their evening's entertainment. Outside, there are small groups of people standing on the street, smoking marijuana cigarettes, or joints as they're commonly known. Most of them are quite happy to tell me what else they've been taking.
A little bit of speed and a little bit of cocaine. A little bit of marijuana. A little bit of drinks.
Are you worried about like the effects that this might be having on you?
There are things that are involving worse effects. For example, to be employed.
Would you be under the influence of any substances besides alcohol tonight?
Of course.
And do you think Prague has a fairly tolerant attitude towards like recreational drug use?
I came to this country from Manchester because in Manchester I was taking a lot of drugs. And I came here because I wanted to get away from it. I thought I'll come here for a little holiday. I came here, man, I came to the wrong place, didn't I?
So can I ask you, do you use so-called recreational drugs?
Every kind of drugs. Like marijuana, I think is the best one.
And do you take anything else?
I maybe two times I had a cocaine, but I think marijuana is better.
And do you think the environment in Prague is kind of friendly towards drugs? Do you think it's easier to get marijuana and so on in this city as opposed to other cities?
I think everybody's coming to Prague just because of drugs. The young people, not old people, old people, you know, they're coming here just because of cheap beer. But young people is coming here just because of marijuana and the cheap drugs.
And have you ever used marijuana, like smoked it in the street or something like that?
Everybody in Prague.
And have you ever had any problems with the police or anything like that? Did they say anything?
Yes, I had it one time. I was standing outside. I was smoking a joint and the police guys, they're coming here. And they told me, what are you smoking here? I said, marijuana. And they, okay, give me the joint and go smoking on the corner because here is coming many tourists.
As Viktor Moravchik from the National Monitoring Center for Drugs and Drug Addiction explains, such apparent widespread drug use is just one change the country has had to get used to over the last 15 years since the fall of communism.
After Velvet Revolution, we could observe huge spread of drug use in the Czech Republic. It was caused by these democratic changes, opening of borders and so on. So new drugs came to our country, especially heroin and marijuana.
Ivan Doda was one of the founders of the first drop-in centre for drug addicts to open in the Czech Republic after 1989. He says that the phenomenon of drug use has spread rapidly throughout Czech society with the advent of democracy.
In Czech Republic, in that time in Czechoslovakia, 15 years ago, we were a little bit innocent about drugs because traditionally in this country were so-called homemade drugs from normal medical pills. It was also a little bit of marijuana and maybe some solvents. After that so-called Velvet Revolution, situation changed, and very quickly these hard drugs were coming here. It was also beginning of the drug business here, because until that time, in fact, money has no role in drug scene here. And through maybe from 5 to 10 years, this drug market was established like very similar to the West.
At the National Monitoring Center for Drugs and Drug Addiction, Viktor Moravchik has had the task of quantifying the scale of the problem.
There is about 30,000 of regular long-term users of these so-called hard drugs in Czech Republic. There is also a big proportion of Czech society, about 500,000, which use cannabis-type drugs in a recreational basis more or less regularly. There is big proportion of mainly young people which use occasionally ecstasy. So concerning availability, there is an estimation that about 12 tons of marijuana and about 3 tons of heroin is consumed in Czech Republic annually. Simply drugs are available.
The rapid arrival of drugs in the Czech Republic has meant that over the last decade, the government has had to also rapidly come up with a coherent policy in response to the problem. Although it has been refined by successive administrations, the state's official approach to the issue has consistently been one of pragmatic tolerance, as opposed to adopting the harshly repressive approach of other countries such as the USA. This has included introducing previously unheard of heroin substitution and harm reduction programs for addicts. Police resources have also been continually directed towards tackling the distribution of drugs as opposed to targeting drug users. Now, says Viktor Moravchik, such progressive measures are finally having a positive effect.
This phenomenon was new in the 90s, so we observed the peak about 4 or 5 years ago. Since that time, things are stabilizing, this problem drug use is decreasing, and so on. And it's thanks to responses of Czech drug policy as well. For example, substitution treatment. Times are changing, and I think the Czech Republic concerning drug policy is on a good way.
Ivan Doda also agrees that since peaking in the 1990s, the situation as regards hard drug abuse has taken a turn for the better.
Something is changing a little bit. In last 2-3 years, the situation about so-called hard drugs, I mean heroin or maybe some other opiates, is little bit changed, is more stabilized, little bit changed, is even less of people who are using that. But some drugs are more fashionable. It means last 5, maybe 10 years, it's just quite strong group of young people who are using not so dangerous drugs like ecstasy, marijuana, and some hallucinogens. They are using that recreationally. It's something like new trend about drugs.
Although this switch from hard to soft drugs among young people is a good thing, in that it means fewer people will be subjected to the horrors of addiction, people's use of drugs can still be harmful. Regular amphetamine use can be physically debilitating, for instance, and even the relatively harmless marijuana can trigger serious mental illnesses such as schizophrenia. Ivan Doda says he hopes the state will continue to adopt a practical, enlightened approach to ensure that these problems are properly tackled.
I think that our future about the drug policy in this state is that through 5 or 10 years, in fact, marijuana will be decriminalized. And I hope that also these recreational drugs will be much more rated, because big groups of people will have experience with them. And so the anxiety about that will be less probably. And we all, I hope, will know much more about that. And that policy will be much more pragmatic.
And that's all we have time for today. If you want to contact us, you can do so. Write us a letter at Radio Prague 12099 Prague 2, or send us an email, english@radio.cz. But from me, Rob Cameron, and everyone here, take care and do join us again tomorrow.
Oh, when I'm feeling lonesome.